configuration choices on the Zoom website. We've seen how we can configure the client on both iOS and the PC, and the same strategies apply to other platforms, but there are also a bunch of choices that we can make on the Zoom.us website itself. And before we begin the process of enjoying our meetings to the max, let's make sure that we have settings optimally set up on the website for our needs. I'm going to go to the Start menu on my primary Windows machine and use Internet Explorer.
Search box edit. Internet Explorer, desktop app.
I'll press Enter to run it.
Mosin Consulting Blindness Information for Blindness Opportunity Internet Explorer.
And I'm on my homepage, which is our own, the Mosin Consulting page. I'm going to go to the Zoom.us website.
Open dialog.
www.zoom.us.
Edit unavailable. Video conferencing, webinars, screen sharing Zoom. 3 regions, 1 application, 14 headings and 80 links. Video.
Right there, I've just pressed the control key to silence my speech, but right there you can hear that Zoom is making excellent use of accessibility standards. There are ARIA regions, there are headings, it's all very well laid out. I'm already signed in to the Zoom website. You can choose to sign in with your username and password, and when you do that, you're asked if you want to be remembered for the future. If you check the box, then you'll automatically be signed in when you come to the Zoom website. The first thing I'm going to do is take a look at my profile settings, and I'm going to bring up my list of links in JAWS. That's the JAWS key with F7.
Links list dialog.
And type the word my.
My account 9 of 86.
The My Account link is the one that will show us all of the settings and options that are available, so I'm going to press Enter to activate this link.
My Account link. My profile Zoom. List. 1 region, 5 headings and 94 links.
This is the My Profile screen, and this is the beginning of the exploration process of the way that your particular Zoom account is configured. There is no easy way to get to the beginning of these settings. There's no region delineating its beginning. There's no heading delineating its beginning. But I'm going to use the N key, which is the quick key in JAWS, to get to a large block of non-linked text. This works for me because I always configure JAWS to consider a block of 75 characters or more as a block of non-linked text. So it may not work as well for you. I'm going to press the letter N.
Personal meeting ID.
And we're right there. I'm just going to go up a little bit.
Link blank. Account blank. Jonathan Mosin.
There we go.
Blank. Link delete. Link change.
So at the top of this, we have the ability to upload a photo that is associated with your profile. You probably, like me, have a special photo that you use for social networks, such as Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, a kind of a head and shoulders photo, and it would be appropriate to upload a similar photo to Zoom so that sighted people can see who you are. I'll down arrow.
Link delete. Blank. Jonathan Mosin. Blank. Account no force.
And then it has my account number.
Blank. Link edit.
And now we see a pattern in terms of the way that we make configuration changes on the Zoom website. Settings are displayed, and if we want to change the setting in a particular section, we choose the edit link, and then a bunch of controls pop up, be they edit boxes, radio buttons, checkboxes, whatever's appropriate for the screen that we're editing, and you can make the change and click save if you want to go ahead and update. If we choose the edit link in this case, we can change our first and last name, the country in which we live, add a phone number, and a few other personalization settings. I'll down arrow.
Personal meeting ID. Blank. 68.
This displays your personal ID. It's handy to make a note of this and become familiar with it. Everybody has a personal ID, but if you have a basic plan, that's the free plan, you can't change your personal ID. On other plans, you can change it.
Blank. https://zoom.us/blank.
And that displays your personal URL, your personal link that is associated with your personal ID. Now, pro account users cannot modify this link. They can change their personal ID, their 10-digit ID, but they can't modify the link. If you have a business or education account, you can actually customize this link to be something quite short and punchy and memorable. I'll down arrow.
Use this ID for instant meetings. Link edit.
If you don't schedule a meeting, that is to say you go ahead and you want to start a meeting right away, you can choose this option so that your personal ID is always used when you start an instant meeting, this can make it much easier to invite people because there's a consistency about the meeting number that you're using.
Sign an email. Blank. Jonathan Blank.
And that's my sign-in email. I can change that if my email address changes in the future.
Link edit. User type. Blank. Pro. Link learn more.
My user type is pro, and quite often in these settings, you'll see a learn more link if Zoom thinks that it's appropriate to give you more helpful information about a given setting. When you press enter, the good news is that it doesn't take you to another page that you have to navigate away from to get back to the settings. All that happens is that additional information pops up below the learn more link. We'll show you how this works. I'll press enter on this learn more link.
Learn more link.
And you'll hear that nothing appears to have happened except now when I arrow down.
Blank. List of one items. Pro user can host unlimited minutes meetings with up to 100 participants. List end.
That's just a little bit of additional helpful information, and that's a pattern that's followed a lot throughout these settings pages on the Zoom website.
Blank. Capacity. Blank. Meeting 100. Link learn more. Time zone. Blank. GMT plus 12 o'clock Auckland. Well, blank. Link edit.
I'm in New Zealand, and so that time zone is correct for me. I do tend to have a lot of meetings with people in the United States or the UK, and so it may be appropriate for me to change my time zone to something like US Eastern Time, and it's certainly possible to do that at any time.
Language. Blank. No option selected. Blank. Link edit. Default call-in country. Blank. United States.
Now, I've set my default calling country to the United States, which means that when an invitation is sent out, the calling number is set to the United States by default, and there is a link that iPhone users can double tap on from an invitation email, for example, which, if necessary, will call the US phone number, initiate a pause so that the connection can be established, and then it automatically enters the meeting ID. So it makes it very easy for an iPhone user to participate via the phone. And actually, I think that that is probably a format that can be followed by a number of smartphones.
Blank. Link edit. Sign in password. Blank. Star star star. Blank. Link edit.
And you can change your password here at any time. A good move to change your password occasionally.
Host key.
Now there's the host key. Certain third-party applications and services can integrate directly with Zoom Cloud Meeting, and there are a lot of powerful features made possible by that kind of integration. You can find out more about the kinds of third-party applications and services that can integrate on the Zoom website. And that's the end of the profile screen, but there are other options on this page that we can get to further customize our Zoom experience. Once again, I'm going to invoke the JAWS links list by pressing the JAWS key with F7.
Links list dialog. Links list view.
And again, I'm going to type the word my.
My profile.
There's my profile.
My meeting settings.
And now here's a link called my meeting settings. As the name implies, this influences the kind of behavior that takes place when we are in a Zoom meeting. And because we're making these changes on the Zoom website, they apply to any client that you log in with, whether it be the desktop client or a mobile client. So I'm going to press enter to activate this link and explore the settings that are available.
My meeting settings link. My settings Zoom. My settings Zoom. One region, 5 headings and 105 links.
Once again, I'm going to do the same trick of pressing the letter N in JAWS to take me to non-linked text.
In meeting basic.
And we are in the in meeting basic options at this point, and I'll down arrow.
Chat. Private chat. Auto saving chats. Allow host to put attendee on hold. Link learn more. Play sound on join/leave. Feedback to Zoom. Co-host. Annotation. Link supported versions. Pulling. Link supported versions. Nonverbal feedback. Link learn more. Link supported versions. Link edit.
This format is consistent across all of the Zoom settings pages. You can see the settings here on the screen, but a screen reader is not saying how each of these settings is set. But you know from this first screen what each particular section will cover. And if there's a feature here that you want to change, then you need to choose the edit link, and then the configuration options will come up, complete with their appropriate control. I'll go down now.
In meeting advanced. Breakout room. Remote support. File transfer. Virtual background. Closed caption. Far end camera control. Share dual camera. Attention tracking. Link learn more. Waiting room. Link learn more. Link supported versions. Link edit.
There are a lot of very powerful features here. I'll talk about a couple of them. The breakout room means that if you have a large gathering, a team meeting of some kind in a Zoom cloud meeting, and you want to break up into groups, that's a pretty common meeting practice, right? You get a group of people together, you break up into teams, maybe for workshops, or you want to brainstorm among smaller groups and come back and confer about what you've all brainstormed about. If you've attended business meetings, I'm sure you're familiar with the many scenarios where this could be helpful. You can set up breakout meetings in a meeting room. It needs to be enabled. And if you wanted to do that, for example, well, we will press enter on this edit link.
Attention tracking.
And now all of the settings that we just heard have come up for configuration. So I'm going to go to the top of the screen just to be safe. And I'm going to press the letter F to get to the first form field on the page using JAWS.
Breakout room checkbox not checked.
So currently breakout rooms are not checked. And if you want to have the ability to make breakout rooms, then you would press the space bar here to check the box. And that option will be available to you in your meetings. With the kind of meetings that I'm doing at the moment with Zoom Cloud Meetings, the breakout rooms would be unnecessary for me, for my use case, and would be additional clutter. But of course, it may be different for you. Similarly, if we just keep navigating down.
Remote support checkbox not checked. File transfer checkbox not checked. Virtual background checkbox not checked. Closed caption checkbox not checked.
Now, I would like to check the closed caption feature to make that available in cases where it would be helpful to my deaf colleagues.
Closed caption checkbox checked.
Closed caption is now enabled now. I just pressed the space bar to enable it.
Far end camera control checkbox not checked. Share dual camera checkbox not checked. Attention tracking learn more checkbox not checked. Attention tracking. Link learn more.
If we want to find out more about what attention tracking is, let's press enter.
Learn more link.
I'm going to perform a say all on this.
The host sees an indicator in the participant panel if an attendee does not have Zoom in focus during screen sharing. This feature is available for all meetings and for webinars with a capacity of fewer than 5,000 participants. List end.
Sounds quite Orwellian. Give me your attention.
Waiting room learn more supported versions checkbox not checked. Waiting room. Link learn more.
There's a waiting room. If you want to find out more about this, you can, of course, come and explore these options on the Zoom website.
Link supported versions. Save changes button.
And there's a save changes button. I have made some changes. Yay. So I'm going to activate that button.
Save change alert. Save success. Save success.
And very good ARIA implementation because JAWS spoke the alert that was triggered by an ARIA event that said the save had concluded successfully and the changes have been updated. I'm going to tab to the edit link to get back to where we were.
Learn more link. Learn more. Supported versions. Edit link.
And go down.
Recording.
Now we're on to our settings for recording, a feature which I'm sure is of great interest to many listeners of this tutorial.
Cloud recording. Record the active speaker view. Record the gallery view. Record an audio-only file. Save chat text from the meeting. Local recording. Automatic recording. Auto-delete cloud recordings after days. Link learn more. Link edit.
Let's explore this. So I'll press enter to activate the edit link.
Auto-delete cloud recordings after days learn more checkbox not checked.
And we now have a series of checkboxes, but I'm going to go to the top of the screen with control home. Now I'll press F to get to the first form field and we'll take a look at all of these options.
Cloud recording checkbox checked.
Cloud recording is enabled, and if you only have a basic account at this time, you won't see the cloud recording feature because cloud recording is available only to pro users and above. Apart from the fact that you may have an iDevice with low storage capacity, iDevices are sandboxed, and that means that Apple exercises a great deal of control about what third-party app developers are allowed to do, and at the moment they don't provide for the recording of any phone calls, any telephony on the device itself. So if you are out and about and you want to record with your iPhone, then you can go ahead and enable cloud recording. And when you are in a meeting, you'll be able to have your meeting recorded. You can download it from the cloud onto your computer, or for that matter, using a tool like Ferrite, which is an excellent and highly accessible multi-track sound editor for iPhone, and you can make all your edits that way. So it really is a very useful feature to have.
Record the active speaker view checkbox checked. Record the gallery view checkbox not checked.
So there are a bunch of views that you can record here.
Record an audio-only file checkbox checked.
And that's probably the one that most blind participants interested in being able to just record an audio file of the meeting. So you can play the whole webinar back, essentially, but if you just want to record the audio, you can save yourself a bit of space by turning off everything except record an audio file.
Save chat text from the meeting checkbox checked.
Because you can record the whole webinar, you can save the chat text from the meeting. And if you do go ahead and record all of these things, then when you play the webinar back, it's just like being there again.
Local recording checkbox checked.
Local recording is also enabled, and this will be available to you if you have a basic account.
Automatic recording checkbox not checked.
You'll remember that we were able to specify in the client where local recordings are stored. And we can choose here whether recordings are made automatically. So if you want to set it and forget it, you're able to enable this option. I suppose one argument in favor of doing that is that it's better to have a meeting recorded and then delete it if you don't need it than to have not recorded a meeting and found that you really could have used the recording afterwards. So you may like to enable this and then just go in and clean up your recordings from time to time.
Auto delete cloud recordings after days. Learn more checkbox not checked.
Let's have a look at this one.
Auto delete link. Learn more. Learn more link.
We'll do a sale.
Learn more. List of one items. If you check on this option, your cloud recording will be moved to trash after it has been stored for the specified number of days. List end.
I can see where this is a convenient option alongside the set it and forget it. So if you enable your recording by default, but you find that you didn't need that meeting, then after a predetermined number of days, it'll be deleted from the cloud anyway without any kind of intervention necessary from you.
Save changes button.
And there's the save changes button. In this instance, I haven't made any.
Cancel button. Yay.
So I can just press the cancel button.
Cloud recording record deactive.
And we're back in the previous screen.
Record the active speaker. Record.
I'll tab to
learn more. Edit link.
Edit and continue down.
Email notification.
There are a number of email notifications that you can receive for specific events in the Zoom Cloud Meeting Service, and these settings control what you receive. Let's take a look.
When attendees join meeting before host.
That's quite useful. So if people turn up early, you can receive an email that says your attendees are waiting. And you can think, oh, okay, I better go in there and say hello to them. Of course, if you're the kind of person who's very busy and you think, look, I said 9 a.m., it's only 8:45, they can jolly well wait until 9 a.m., then you may want to disable this feature.
When a meeting is cancelled. When an alternative host is set or removed from a meeting. Link edit.
And you can edit these options and uncheck and check the boxes that are relevant for you.
Security. End-to-end encryption. Link learn more. Generate and require password for participants joining by phone. Link learn more. Link edit.
A couple of security features there that you can investigate.
Global dial-in numbers.
The global dial-in numbers are available for every Zoom Cloud meeting if you enable the option to dial in using the phone. Usually the phone and voice over internet are enabled by default. This series of settings governs the phone numbers that are displayed in meeting invitations. So if you only have people participating in meetings from your country, then it declutters the email only to display the dial-in number for your particular country. If from time to time you have international meetings, maybe you've got an office located in another country, then you may like to enable the displaying of the dial-in number for that particular country in your invitation.
Plus 61, 0, plus 1, plus 40.
I have people in a range of countries that I meet with, and so I have a number of these enabled.
Plus 353, plus 64, plus 27, plus 44, blank. Link edit.
You can edit these, and there's a series of checkboxes that determine which ones are displayed and which ones are not.
Invitation email template. Link send me a preview email. Link English. Vertical bar. Link edit.
If you choose this screen, you can have a look at the default invitation email template and the variables that are used for that, and you can also add additional text if you wish.
Schedule privilege. Link learn more. Assign scheduling privilege to. Link add.
This is another feature that is not available to basic account holders, but if you have a pro account or greater, then you can assign somebody scheduling privileges. If you have a personal assistant, this can be really handy. If they're managing your calendar for you, then they'll be able to add Zoom meetings for you as well and set those up.
Integration authentication.
Then there's further information here about integration with third-party
blank.
Tools.
Key X blank secret. Save blank, link regenerate.
And then there's a regenerate option should you need to start off with a fresh key for any reason. Those are the settings on this page that I'm going to take a look at, but there are more settings. And in fact, this page is full of really useful options. And there's one more interesting page that I'd like to take you to before we get into the nitty-gritty and the fun part, frankly, of hosting and using the meeting facility. And this is an entire page that is not available to you if you have a basic account. So if you look for the link on the page and you're at the basic level of Zoom service, you're not going to find it. However, you may find it instructive to keep listening so that you can find out what it is that pro users have access to. I'm going to once again press the JAWS key with F7.
Links list dialog.
And now I'm going to type my again.
My profile.
That just gets us to where we know we're in a familiar place, and I'm going to down arrow through this list of links.
My meeting settings. My meetings. My recordings. My webinars. Zoom rooms. User management. Users. Group management. Role management. Account profile. Account settings.
It's account settings that I want, and there is some duplication here in terms of what we've already seen on the profile and other screens, but there are many other options besides. And my understanding is that these settings, when you change them on the account settings page, apply to your entire account. That means that if you have other people who share your account, and we'll talk about the virtues of that a little later in this tutorial, then they will also inherit the settings that you make on the account settings page. So let's press enter to activate the screen.
Account settings link. Account settings Zoom. One region, 5 headings and 119 links.
This is a busy page, and to get to where I need to be, I'm going to press Control F and I'm going to type the word knowledge, because I know, having used this page for some time, that knowledge base is the last link before we get on to the actual settings. Unfortunately, at this time, there is no heading that marks the beginning of the settings, and there's no ARIA region that does either. So this is the best way to get there.
JAWS find dialog. Find what? Edit combo.
And I'll type K-N-O-W-L. That will be enough, so I'll press enter.
Wrapping to top. Link knowledge base.
And down arrow now.
Blank. In meeting basic. End-to-end encryption. Link learn more.
Protection of commercially sensitive data is clearly something that Zoom takes seriously, and they've won the confidence of the business sector because, as we said at the beginning of this tutorial, it is used by half of the Fortune 50 companies, which is a pretty strong endorsement. You do want confidence that if you're discussing commercially sensitive material, that it's safe. And if you choose the Learn More link here, you'll find out that the client is using 256-bit encryption, and it's pretty robust. So we'll continue to scroll through here.
Chat. Private chat. Auto-saving chats. Link learn more.
So a bunch of chat options here that you can configure to your liking.
Feedback to Zoom.
Now, when you enable this feature, and you do this in the same way that we've seen in the previous screens, where you choose the edit link and then a series of controls come up for you to configure all of these features. But if this is enabled, then you get the chance to send feedback to Zoom at the end of each meeting. I found it a little intrusive, so I went in and I disabled this feature, but I'm sure that Zoom appreciates the feedback, and of course there are other ways that you can submit that. Whenever I have had cause to contact Zoom with a question, I have found them to be both timely and helpful in their responses.
Display end of meeting experience feedback survey. Link supported versions. Co-host. Polling. Link supported versions.
Polling is not something I have used as yet, but it does allow you to configure a poll so that users can be asked a question. It actually could be a very useful feature for fun, but it could also be handy if you're voting on something in a meeting context and you want to get everybody's definitive vote on whether to proceed with a particular course of action or not.
Allow host to put attendee on hold. Link learn more.
You can learn more about this feature if you wish. Let's do that. I'll press enter.
Learn more link.
And now perform a say all.
Learn more. List of one items. Attendee on hold allows host to stop video and audio transmission to a participant. List end. End.
Could be quite handy in certain situations. Let's say that you are doing a job interview by Zoom Cloud Meeting, for example, and you want the interviewee to be put on hold for a moment so that you can confer with the panelists, then it's possible.
Always show meeting control toolbar. Link supported versions. Allow to share Zoom windows and desktop sharing. Link supported versions. Link edit.
And here's the edit link for all of these features if you'd like to go ahead and check how any of these are set up and change them if you wish. We'll continue to scroll down.
In meeting advanced.
Now we're in the in-meeting advanced section.
Breakout room. File transfer. Closed caption. Group HD video. DSCP marking. Link learn more.
So you've seen some of these features before, and some features are new.
Virtual background. Only show default email when sending email invites. Peer-to-peer connection while only two people in a meeting.
This is enabled by default, by the way, and when you have only two people in a meeting, rather than going through Zoom's servers, which is an optimal thing to do when you have a whole bunch of people sharing a meeting and you may not have the bandwidth to support that yourself, if there are only two people in a meeting, then by default, Zoom will initiate a peer-to-peer connection. What that means is that Zoom is not really in the middle. Traffic for the meeting doesn't pass through their servers, and that means that latency, the delay between when you talk and when somebody hears you, is likely to be less. And with a good internet connection on both sides, it'll just make the audio more rapid and hopefully a little bit more smooth. So I think in most cases you would want to leave that feature enabled at its default.
Link learn more. Listening ports range. P2P ports. P2P ports. Link edit.
If you want to change any of those features, choose the corresponding edit link, but we'll continue to scroll down.
Schedule meeting.
Options now for scheduling a meeting.
Join before host. Link learn more.
Yes, let's learn more about this.
Learn more link.
I'll perform a say all now.
Learn more. List of one items. Select enable join before host on scheduling page by default. This allows your participants to join the meeting before you. List end. End.
So people can get together, have a wee bit of a chat before you arrive. You probably don't want to enable this by default if you use your personal meeting room a lot, because what you might find is that people come to your personal meeting room without your knowledge and kind of just hang out. So it's probably something you want to leave unchecked, but you may, for a specific meeting that you set up with a unique meeting ID, potentially enable it there. And we'll discuss all of those scenarios when we move on to the process of creating and scheduling meetings shortly.
Host video. Link learn more.
So you can, by default, have host video disabled or enabled when you create a meeting. I have mine set to disabled by default. And we were also able to set this up from the respective clients that we've looked at, the Windows and iOS in the case of this tutorial.
Participants video. Link learn more.
Similarly with participants video, whether it's on or off by default when you set a meeting up. And of course, you can override any of these settings on a meeting by meeting basis.
Audio, telephony and VoIP. Link learn more. Always display Zoom meeting as the meeting topic. Link learn more. Require a password for personal meetings if attendees can join before host. Link learn more.
So this is one way of getting around the scenario that I talked about earlier, where you don't want people to come in to your personal meeting room whenever they feel like it and hang out at your expense or on your account, because you may find that when you want to use it for a legitimate purpose, somebody else has kind of hijacked it, and you don't want that. So you can get around that by requiring a password that has to be entered before anybody can get in ahead of you. That way, you can give the password to select people and not everybody. You can also change the password should you need to.
Link edit. Join meeting. Enable auto answer group. Link learn more.
Let's have a look at what an auto answer group does. Enter.
Learn more link.
And say all.
Learn more. List of one items. Let's users add contacts to an auto answer group. Meeting invitations from these contacts are automatically accepted. List end. End.
So that's useful if there are people in your work environment, people you work with, that you want to be able to have meetings automatically accepted when they send you one, you can add them to this auto answer group, but the feature does have to be enabled. So you may need to go into the edit options and switch that on.
Only signed in users can join meetings. Only signed in users with specified domains can join meetings.
As we saw right at the beginning, when we attended a meeting without being signed into Zoom, the default behavior is that anybody can join a Zoom meeting. That has a lot of advantages because some people who might not use Zoom on a regular basis may well feel resentful about having to go through a whole bunch of hoops to sign up to a service that you like just to attend a one-off meeting. So the default behavior, I think, is usually optimal, which is that you don't have to sign in to attend a meeting. If you do want to make it more difficult to attend a meeting, perhaps for security reasons, perhaps because you just don't want all and sundry attending your meetings, then you can go ahead and choose the edit link pertaining to these settings and make the change.
Add watermark when viewing the shared screen. Link edit. Recording.
Now we're on to the recording section.
Local recording. cloud recording.
So you can enable both local recording and cloud recording.
Automatic recording.
And automatic recording.
Link learn more. Cloud recording downloads. Only the host can download cloud recordings. Only users on my account can access cloud recordings. Auto delete cloud recordings after days. Link learn more. Link edit.
A couple more options that we didn't see in the previous set of options pertaining to recording.
Email notification. When a cloud recording is available. When attendees join meeting before host. When a meeting is cancelled. When host count is low. When an alternative host is set or removed from a meeting. Link edit.
Again, more email notifications available by virtue of the fact that with this particular account it is a pro one, and so there are a few more features available.
Audio options.
Now, on to audio options.
Allow users to select stereo audio in their client settings.
Audiophiles in the blind community will really appreciate this, the fact that you can enable stereo, and then when you're playing music from a source such as a media player or a YouTube clip, it will come down in stereo.
Allow users to select original sound in their client settings.
As I said when this came up before, my understanding is that original sound tends to turn off a lot of the compression and customization features that Zoom employs for optimal audio settings. Original sound does not sound as good, in my experience, if you're using something like a built-in microphone in a laptop. But if, like me, you're using a mixer, or maybe you have a good quality microphone that plugs into your USB socket, it may be a standalone mic, or it could be a particularly good quality microphone headset, you may find audio benefits to enabling original sound. So I have this enabled, which gives me the option to toggle it in every meeting that I'm involved with.
Third-party audio conference. Link edit.
And there's an edit link here. That last option, you can integrate it with third-party audio conferencing. So if you want to use the meeting facilities of Zoom, but use an alternative option for audio, that is also possible. There are some other options available on the screen, including administration options and options governing the use of passwords. One thing I have found is that Zoom is overall very well documented. They have a knowledge base, they have a live online chat facility, they will answer emails. And so if you find a feature that's of interest to you, but it's not quite clear after you've explored the site, you can contact them. You should get a detailed and helpful response. I found the knowledge base to be extremely good. We can't obviously go through every single option here because it may get a little tedious, but my aim here has been to show you some of the key features that you might like to change and also the convention that the Zoom website uses so you can find out more information, you can edit and make the changes that you want, and you can't really break anything, so feel free to explore these settings to your liking. But in my view, we have now set up both the mobile client, the desktop client, and the overall account to be quite optimal for our purposes, and we can move on to the fun bit and look at actually creating, scheduling, and participating in meetings.